Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein with an hour of learning, some hashkafa, in our yeshiva shalmaila. This week we have a very interesting program. We're going to be talking about smoking in halacha, and we're going to have a number of very interesting guests. We have Rabbi Tzvi Herzig from the Machon Bicharta Bachayim, who's done a ton of research. He's met with all the gedolim about the halacha of the contemporary poskim. What is the halacha of somebody who smokes today? Is it lifnei iver to a chassin to offer cigarettes? Would he be pasul or edus? Is he called a misakin acherim? Could you ask him to leave? What's the halacha of a smoker today? We will have Rabbi Shmuel first, the great poskim from Chicago. We will have a few words from Reb David Cohn, who is the great Pesach, America's great Pesach. We will have the Ram of the Mir, Rabbi Nissen Kaplan. And then we will have the Rosh Yeshiva and Rav, Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, speaking about e-cigarettes, a new bane. I want to remind everybody that we will not be on WMCA because we did a study and almost all of our listenership is either on the phone or online or on the app, like 95%. I'm going to give out the phone numbers again. In the U.S., it's 732-806-8700. In England, we have a sizable contingency of listeners in England. It's 330-117-0250. And in Israel, it's Eretz Yisrael. It's 02, that's Yerushalayim, 372-0304. So before we go to our halacha, I want to say a little thought. I had a Moira the Torah, fabulous Torah. I feel it mamish came from heaven. It came from Shemayim, this Torah. You know, the Mishnah says in Sukkah, Misha le'ra simchas beis hashi'eva, le'ra simcha miyamav. Whoever didn't see the simcha of the beis hashi'eva, which is this week, le'ra simcha miyamav, he never saw simcha. This week was the week of happiness and rejoicing. Now, this interests me because I'm always concerned about happiness. If you go to my house, you'll see there's one bookshelf that has like probably 50 books on how to be happy. I think happiness is a very important foundation to mental health. And I think if you go to Google, go to Amazon Books, there's something like, 29,000 books on happiness. So when the Torah tells us, when the Mishnah, the Gemara says that where is Simcha? Simcha space the Sheva. My ears perked up. Wow. What's the definition of Simcha? And it says Chsidim van Shemaisa de Umaratim, and they threw torches up. But it's a little bit mystery. What is the Simcha? So I want to share with you a fabulous Torah. You know, in the beginning of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in the beginning of the process of atonement, we do a mysterious ancient minig. We go to the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We go to a river or an ocean or a lake, depending on where you live. And we do the minig of Tashlach. And we say, Yichpei Shavayne Seinu, bury our sins. Tashlach b'metzulais yom kol chataysam, throw into the ocean all our, bury them in the bottom. We throw our sins into the water. What does it mean? Our failures, our traumas, our shortcomings, imperfections, our pain, right? Deficiencies, evil, throw them away. Bury them, Lord. It's very interesting. We can't deal with it. So we do tshuva on all these iniquities. So here's the fabulous part. The Kedushas Levi, the great Baditshiva Rav, he brings a medrash. The medrash says that, V'lakachtem lachem b'yayim harishayin. He says, on the first day of Sukkot, so the Gemara says, what's Yom Rishon? It's a Medrash, actually. Rishon L'cheshban Avinus. The first day that we have sins is the first day of Sukkot. So the Kedushas Levi says, and many, many yeses, he says, is that what the first day of Sukkot is? It's the first day, Rishon L'cheshban Avinus, the first day we count that with sins? It's the first day you can sin? First of all, what happened to the days between now and Yom Kippur? And why would you celebrate a Yom? You could sin then, too. And why would we celebrate a Yom Tov by saying, count your sins? So the Kedushas Levi says, and many other Balei Machshava say this, is there's two types of atonement. One is out of fear. You know, the IRS is coming after you. Boy, your spouse, child, whoever the relationship is, not a good situation. So you do tshuva, you ask for forgiveness. And there's another type of tshuva. It's out of love. You know, I love you. I love you. You pick up your child. And you say, I love you. I couldn't have done that. My love for you is too great. So he says, the beginning of tshuva is the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sukkot, we go into a tent, follow the Rabbeinu Shalom with love. We run away with a tent with him. He says, this is tshuva out of love. And the Gemara says that when we do tshuva, tone out of love, Zedaynes nathalekis chuyes. Zedaynes means evil that we've done, transgression, suddenly becomes chuyes. So the Kedushas Levi says, it's Rishon L'Cheshbon Avinus. If the Zedayin of Nasalai Schuyes, if all those worthless stock certificates, you get a call, you say, you know those worthless stock certificates throughout, or maybe they're in the attic? Guess what? The company is stock with a, they discovered a new cure for something, or they came out with a new breakthrough, a medical breakthrough, a program they're written that the internet is going wild on. So you run up to the attic and you start looking for those worthless. There was a case a few years ago where somebody had thrown out some certificates they owned in the Texas Pacific, you know, Energy Corporation 40 years ago, and they found each certificate was worth $4 million. So the, but Tishuva says, if Zedayin of Naslek is Chuyas, if all your Averis becomes Chuyas, so you start counting them. Let's go up to the attic, take out our Averis. Each one is worth something. But here's the question. What does it mean, Zedayin of Naslek is Chuyas? What is this, some magic? An Avera becomes a mitzvah? I mean, it sounds good when you say it in Hebrew, but as adults, when we listen to it, it seems absurd. So let me tell you how I understand it. I think that there are times when we look back at something that's caused us pain, and what did we do? We learned from it, and we changed something we do, and we became enriched, we became enlightened. We said, I'm going to become more sensitive how I deal with other people. Then it becomes gain. You know, I heard a story years ago, and I've heard this in different iterations, I think I've said it over before, about an almana who married off a child. And one individual, she came home, it was late at night, she married off her child, it was a fabulous shidduch, everybody was dancing. And she comes home, and there's a woman waiting for her by the door. She says to the almana, you know, I was by the wedding, let's go in, let's have a cup of coffee and talk about all the dancing. That. And she sat for an hour and she left and she said, you know, I lost my mother at a young age, and I know what it's like to be a single, my father was a single parent. And after he married off a child, he came home. There was nobody to discuss it with. There was nobody to talk about, reminisce. Because during the wedding, everybody's so excited. He says, but I had lived through this trauma. And I saw this woman. I said, I'm going to go to her house. And when she wants to unwind and talk about it, she'll share it with me. That's the concept of Zedayin of Nasalei Kishuyes. When we take pain and we turn it into a gain. When we take something from an injury from our history, and we don't just forget it, we don't turn it into history, we turn it into finery. We turn it into jewelry. We make it glittery. That is the Zedayin of Nasalekis Chuyes. So here's an interview with a woman, Z.C. Silverberg, who got married, she says, in her late 30s. You know, you never ask a woman her age. She was very, very courageous to say this. And she's going to talk about how being an older single gave her the understanding, the empathy to create two great organizations, Inveh HaGefen and Binyan Adiyad, which I've understood that have done hundreds or thousands of shidduchim. Listen to her brief story. We've made it brief because we want to go to halacha, but listen to this. And to me, this is the concept of Zedayin of Nasalekis Chuyes. We have on the phone with us Z.C. Silverberg, who her and her husband, Mendy, started two amazing organizations, Inveh HaGefen and Binyan Adiyad, which do shidduchim for older singles. As you can imagine, they've done, we'll hear from her how many shidduchim they've done and how many shadchanim. And I'd like to hear her story. Welcome, Z.C.
Hi, everybody.
Z.C., so could you tell us what inspired you and your husband to get involved in such a big undertaking? Like, it's two people undertake such a thing, rooms of shadchanim for many, many years, paying for it, the upkeep. I mean, there must be a story behind this.
Well, actually, it's really simple. I married very late. And when I say very late, I don't mean in my 20s. I was in my, shall we say, my upper 30s. And in addition to my own experiences, I really understood the difficulties of the other older singles. I recognized that even as an older single, I was extremely fortunate. I lived at home with my family. I lived in New York. I had a super job. I had great connections and so on. And many, many older singles did not have any of these advantages. I also recognized how older singles were perceived and misunderstood, shall we say, by the community at large. As accomplished, successful, and productive as an older single might be, the older single was really effectively disenfranchised, and all older singles were pretty much blamed for their status. So not just us, but my husband and I, together with several other like-minded members in the community, decided to see how we could address these issues. One prong was educating the community. Some people really, really didn't understand.
But Zissi, when you say disenfranchised, define, like, what does that mean, disenfranchised?
You literally feel like you don't count.
So what did that hurt inspire you to do?
It was the fact that I knew so many other singles who were less fortunate than me and who were still single and who were still made to feel that they were not effectively full-fledged members of the community. And I just wanted to help all the others. I wanted to help them get to where I'd gotten to. I'd wanted to help them get married and have their opportunities in life.
So how many shidduchim has Inve HaGefen and Binyan Adiyad made since you started it?
I honestly don't know how many. We do the best we can. I actually, jokingly say I count the grandchildren, you know, Baruch Hashem. But the bigger point, David, the really bigger point is once we started this, it's like we started a movement. So many other shidduch organizations have opened since. And that's the important thing. It's not just this one organization. There's now a whole movement of shidduch organizations. The more shidduchim read, the more perspectives brought to reading shidduchim, the more shidduchim will happen.
Is it fair to say that over the years, Inve and Binyan have made more than 100 shidduchim?
Oh, way, 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 way more.
So here's my Torah, everybody. And tell me if you think this is a Torah that came from heaven. In the beginning in Rosh Hashanah, we throw our hurt, our pain, our wrongdoing into the water. We say, cover it. Cover it up, God. Cover it. And you know what happens in Sukkot? We go back to the lake. And what do? By the Simchas Beis HaSheva, it's the Nisach Mayim. We pull pails of water up from the lake. And we say, we pour it out. And we pour, let's take back those Averis. All those worthless stock certificates. They became gold. They're worth millions of dollars each one. The injury, it's jewelry. Let's count it. And the Gemara says that what? Misha le'ra simchas beis ha'sheva le'ra simchas b'yamav. The biggest simcha we have is when we take an obstacle, a hurt, a defeat, and we turn it into a victory, into something that we can gain from. In our life, our greatest moments is when we were down, 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 and we overcame. That is real joy. So what does that mean? This Simchas Beis HaSheva, this Yom Tov, I think each of us should take a few minutes, maybe by a table, and recount the personal story of some setback we've encountered that at the time it felt like, oh, it was awful, it was the biggest loss. And then, boy, did we learn from it. Did we become richer? That our learning, that our relationships, that our business, that our teaching, whatever it may be, our parenting became better because of it. And if we do that, then we, even if we're far, far from Yerushalayim, we would really be celebrating wherever we're listening, or wherever we're doing it, whatever sukkah we're sitting, we will then be joining this Simchas Beis HaSheva. We will maybe be zeicher to a tiny little bit of the Misha Le'ra Simchas Beis HaSheva Le'ra Simcha B'yamav. We will have this Simcha. We will embrace this Simcha. Let's go to our wonderful guests. We have on the phone with us, from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Tzvi Hertig, who runs a Machon Ubacharta Bachayim, which specializes in research about smoking. Welcome, Rabbi Hertig.
Thank you.
So, Rabbi Tzvi, Rav Moshe quite famously wrote in a tshuva in, I think it was 1964, his first one, in Yeridaya Beis and Simon Memtes, and then again, I think in 1981. And he says that smoking is, in the first one, he calls it a lacha ishva sakana. He says, should we suspect for this sakana? And then in 1981, he writes, miyut katan lachleis miza, a small minority of people get sick from smoking. And I'm wondering, it's, you know, it's from 1964, it's 50-some odd years later, and it's almost 40 years later from the second Shuva. Would you say that science has changed since then? And therefore, would Rav Moshe say the same psak today? And of course, it's very hard, but to surmise, but you've done a lot of research in this. Fill us in. What have the poskim of today say?
Okay. First of all, Rav Moshe's Shuva. Even in Rav Moshe's time, you had Rav Aaron Cutler, who was chalik on it. I have a letter from Rav Chiel Yitzchak Perry, heard directly from Rav Moshe. So there wasn't, and there are other poskim who argue on Rav Moshe's reasoning as tshuva. But I'm talking about Rav Moshe's tshuva himself. Rav Moshe says that it's a chashash rachak and a mitkat. So when Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva, the science basically said that it was around the chance of dying because of smoking for a smoker is around a third. The reason why they thought so was because when they started following smokers, they initially started following people who started smoking at a later age, because the cigarettes only became the cigarettes that you inhale into your lungs as opposed to cigars only became popular in the beginning of the 20th century. So at the time, the epidemiological studies showed that it's about a third of smokers die from it. It's not clear if Moshe knew that. It appears that the doctor who told him the data that he had was wrong. But right now it's clear. There's study after study, huge studies following people for 50 years, show that around two thirds of the smokers die as a result of the things that they do, as a result of their habit. It's accepted that in between half to two thirds.
When did that study? Could you cite the study and when it came out?
Okay, there was in the 1990s. You had the second American Society Cancer Prevention Study. It followed 1 million Americans for around 8 years, and those analyses already showed that most smokers were dying from it. And then in 2004, you have the British Medical Journal published. They followed around tens of thousands of British doctors for 50 years, and their data already showed that for the youngest doctors, those born after 1920, you already had two thirds of smokers died as a result of their habit.
So let me ask you: given that, how have poskim subsequent to Rav Moshe, later poskim, who have seen these studies, like Rav Moshe writes, it's lachish v'sakana zu, it's a chash miyot, he writes in Tavshin Mem Aleph, in Chayshim Mishpat Chelik Beisim and Yudches, I think it is, he writes it's a chashk, it's a miyot cut, and so how have subsequent poskim, the facts haven't changed, our knowledge of the Metzius has changed, how have subsequent poskim addressed this?
So the Talmidim of Rav Moshe I speak to generally agree that Rav Moshe's psak is not negia. Ruin Feinstein or David Feinstein. David said he told me he doesn't know the statistics, but of course, if that's what the statistics say, then you know, then the halacha changed.
That's what David Feinstein told you.
Yeah, David Feinstein.
And you heard this from him. You have it in writing, or do you have it in verbal?
I have it in writing. His he has a Talmud of Baruch Maskwitz, who wrote a tshuva sefer called V'dibarta Bam. So he has it published in his second volume. This psak of David Feinstein.
Okay.
Rabbi Yashiv also initially wrote in his Tshuva Sefer that Yisei Shem Pesayim Hashem, and part of his reasoning was that people didn't know so much about the dangers. It was at least 30 years ago. A few years before he was Nifter, he said that it's published in Shas Tshuva Yishma Meishet from one of his Gabam put out a Sefer. and he has it word. He has he says that that today is Asr Medina.
Yeah, because the first tshuva from Rebbe Yashiv, which is in the Kaivis Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Simon Reish Yotes, is from Shnas Tafshin Mem Aleph, which is 35 years ago. And it was before both studies that you mentioned came out. So, Rabbi Herzog, let me ask you a question. Based upon the above, if somebody asks you, do you have a pack of matches? I'd like to light my cigarette. If you give him the pack of matches, are you over Lifnaiver?
Yes, you are. It's certainly, if he doesn't have a way, if he doesn't have an alternative way to get a hold of it.
Well,
Tzitz Eliezer talks about Lifnei Iver, and he says that you can give someone cigarettes only if he has a different way to get it.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Even though if he has a different way to get it, so it's not a deraisa, but why isn't it a din of Messiah Ledvar Avera, which is a drabon, and even on Chadiv or Dinara, there's still a problem with Messiah Ledvar Avera?
So, I asked Rav Ariel Yashiv, I came into his, I told him that, you know, I came to Eretz Yisrael once, and I told him that, you know, someone asked me to buy cigarettes. It wasn't true, but I told him that someone asked me to buy cigarettes, and then all of a sudden I found out that Rav Yashiv holds that it's usher. So he went into Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv said, Sa Shaila, he said.
If you want to buy somebody else's cigarette.
I shouldn't sell it to a Yid. He said, if you want, I could sell it to a Chassan. Because I guess his assumption was that people wouldn't smoke it continuously.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. If today, God willing, do you have any children?
Baruch Hashem.
So, God willing, you'll make a chuppah, and you'll have Eidei Kiddushin, and you call an aide up, or your machutin calls up an aide, and you see the guy smokes, and you now have a tshuva from Rebbe Yashiv and from Rebbe David Feinstein that it's asa, and we know that the Mechaba says that somebody's over in Issa B'Tzmidius has a din of a mumma lahachis and is therefore pasul l'edus, would you allow this person to be an aide under a chuppah?
It definitely wouldn't be my first choice. However, Avshalom Zalman wrote in one place that he doesn't think that smokers are pasul l'edus. In a different place, he said that if you have someone that knows how dangerous smoking is, and he knows that it's asr, and he knows that it's b'chal ma'abaras meladas, and he knows that ma'abaras meladas is b'chal achiv misa b'dei shemayim, if he knows all these things together, then there's a sefer called Mishpat HaKesuva, and he's quotes Shlomo Mezalman, and he says that that he would be postulated. So at the end of the day, most smokers, they always find their so-called heter that they heard from some rav, so they're not really total mezidim.
They have a din of an oimer mutter, and you're saying that the mechaber and Simon Lamadala, I think it's Lamadala, says that an oimer mutter is kashal eidus, even if he's being oimer navera.
Right. So they're oimer mutter, and I'm saying I wouldn't say they're all oimer mutter.
So what is bacharta b'chaim? What we're talking about is sort of like garden variety ideas. Tell us something that Bacharta B'chaim does, or what research it's done, or what the other Gedolim say about this that maybe us in America, we're not so up to date and aren't aware of.
First of all, we need to understand how deep and grave and wide and serious this problem is. Most people know, everyone knows that, you know, smoking is a bad thing. No one wants to smoke, and no one, even smokers, don't want to smoke. You know, no one's for smoking. But people ask me, why do you think this is such an important project, that's so important to invest so much time and effort and energy into this? So if you look at statistics, like how many people die a year in Israel from smoking? So you have 8,000 people die in a single year. If you take the past 50 years of war and terror combined, you get to a number of 6,000-something. So you have a single year of people dying, of enormous amounts of people dying. What's the problem? The problem is they die from the same things that other, generally from the same things that other people die from, cancers and heart diseases. People don't know, you know, it doesn't make headlines. It's just part of daily life, you know. He died from that. He wasn't so healthy. He was more healthy. But we have 8,000 people dying. Smoking already starts having an effect on life, on survival after the age of 40, you already start having effects on survival. You have families of almanas and yisayim that are caused by something that's so preventable. So if we can do something to reduce the prevalence of smoking, and it is very something that's very preventable. We could, instead of having all these campaigns to raise money for almanas and yisayim that we see all the time, we can do something to prevent these problems.
Say, you know, it was interesting. I was recently in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a Rosh Yeshiva who actually I've had on my program who was smoking. And I went over to him and I said, you know, you're not allowed to smoke. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. And I said, and, you know, you have a family, you have children. And what I didn't say is, and you have Talmidim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you say about a Rebbe who smokes? Like, what is there any Issa in that? Would that be a gather of Messiah or Dvar Aveira? I mean, because Bachram look up to their Rebbe. If their Rebbe smokes, they can smoke. Or if a parent smokes.
Absolutely.
Or if you have a
Rav Gershon Edelstein, even he gave out. He said that someone who smokes should not be hired as a Rebbe. He sets an example.
Is that what he said? Do you have that in writing too, or is that Mipi Yeshua?
Yeah, I have it in writing. Actually, several years ago, Mishpacha printed it in Hebrew. I had a Rashiva that I was close with. And he was a heavy smoker, and he told us that people asked him about it, and he said he's going to go to Gehenna for it, and he said he doesn't have any valid answer, and today he doesn't smoke anymore. So the thing is we see smokers, and everyone always. You know, when they you see a smoker and you have things to tell them. Why do you smoke? Don't you know X, Y, and Z? Don't you know? The problem is almost any smoker you speak to tried quitting many times, and they're usually confused about why they can't stop. 90% of smokers admit to the fact that they regret having started smoking. Unless you're talking about very young smokers. You know, the young smokers, they say, oh, I'm not addicted, and I'm never going to be addicted, or something to that effect. But anyone older than the age of 25, 30, they all regret starting. They all so that's why one of the things that I'm lobbying for very strongly is that the Israeli government should not put on restrictions on electronic cigarettes. They initially tried banning it, etc. And there's a very wide-ranging consensus that electronic cigarettes are less harmful than regular cigarettes. The UK government came out with a report estimating that it's at least 95% less harmful. And in my opinion, if you limit it in several different ways, then you prevent people from switching or there's also they initially tried banning it. So I spent a lot of time researching that area and speaking to my contacts in the health ministry on that.
So let me ask you another question. What do you do if you have somebody who smokes, you come into shul, you come into a base medrash, and is somebody smoking because, you know, he believes in Shem Epsayim Hashem, or he believes that it's unhealthy, that it's not unhealthy. I mean, you have Mishigayim like that. And there are other people in the room.
Right.
So, and I know it's discussed, but I'd like you to say it. You know, we know that there's a concept that, you know, it's in Hilchos Diske Shcheinim. Would smoking be usher also? Would it fall onto, what is it? It's in Kufnun Gimel or Kufnun Dalet, the dinim of Harchakas Dezikin, Chashemishpat. Would you have the right halachically to tell this person, listen, you may believe it's fine, but you're being mazik me, and there's a dinim Diske Shcheinim, there's all that, and please leave the base medrash or leave the room. What would a paisik, what would he paskin in that case?
Absolutely. So the Igros Meishah says that it's b'chal dina degarmi, that a bezin can't be mechayev you, but if you smoke and you're mitzah, even mitzah are the people, let alone make them sick, then he says you're mechayev to pay that person for the tzah that you caused them. And he says that if it's in a base medrash and you have some people, many people, because even if you have most people want to want to smoke, and it helps them. They claim it helps them learn. So that the person that doesn't, the person that that's being, that's getting the nezik from it, is allowed to stop them all from doing it. Rav Yashiv initially had a tshuva that said that it's mutter. I'm not sure what he did with his kshenim. I guess he grew up in Yerushalayim where it wasn't even a nuisance. It wasn't even a discomfort to have someone smoke. The only chesed he took into account was the health, not his kshenim. And he said that was the tshuva that you originally quoted. He said that it's mutter, but later on it's printed in Ashriya Ish. He said that it's usher.
He's referring, by the way, you're referring to the tshuva in Reisha Tes, the very early
right.
tshuva.
Exactly. Yeah. So initially he said that it's mutter because the health effects. He said b'chashem b'sayim Hashem. And right now but towards the end of his life, he says that it's usher because of the fact that it became more people know about the dangers more, so they're less psyim in that respect, and you also because the dangers became more well known.
And that's in, by the way, we'll put that on our website, that tshuva too. It's in Asya Cheveres 77-78 in Tevis of Tavshin Samach Vav. So this was 25 years later he changed his mind, Rabbi Yashiv. So a conclusion, though you said 90% of smokers want to quit. Why do they want to quit?
Well, there's a wide range of reasons, from money to health to...
would you say the majority know that it's unhealthy?
Absolutely.
So let me ask you,
those people who tell you it's not unhealthy, it's generally in order to save face.
So Reb Tzvi, so let's reach a conclusion here, because we are somewhat of a halacha program, or we try to be.
Yes.
We say Reb Moshe originally wrote that it's okay, and he says a Ben Torah shouldn't, but he says
I'll quote to you the psak of David Feinstein.
And then Reb David Feinstein posts this Lancet, the studies that came out in the 90s changed it. He said Reb Moshe didn't, you know, the facts weren't known then. So read Reb David's psak.
Okay, so this is from Rabbi Baruch Maskowitz, the Machaber of Shalos Tshuvos V'Dibar Tabam. It was Rabbi David Feinstein's Talmud Mubak. He wrote two Tshuvos Sfarim, quoting based on the Pesachim of Rabbi David. Shemati Mirosha Yeshiva Maran Harav Agoyin Rav David Feinstein Shpita. Dayoyim Lefim Asha Oymim Haroifim Shekemat Echad Mishloisha Ay Echad Mishnayim. In other words, he underestimates the risks. Me'an Ahagim Lahashin Sigayos Nechalim La'achar Zman B'machlis Chamuris Shachmona Litzlan Pashut Tzilfiyah Yigus Moshe Also Lismach Hashem Pesayim Hashem B'kai Gavna D'moch Shom D'das Ovav D'ala Hakel B'zeh Eina Elif Yomdina Shalosli Zman K'moshe Kosef Shiru B'diru B'ma'ashnim M'ma'ashnim Loi Mistaknim B'zeh V'rak Miut Kotin quote unquote Mitzukonim La'achlois. In other words, Moshe clearly stated his criteria. It's not speculating what Rav Moshe held. Rav Moshe says that the chashash to die from smoking, to get sick from smoking, is a miyat katan. Therefore, it's clear that according to Rav Moshe, it would be us to smoke this. Besides for psakim written explicitly by the Chafetz Chaim, talks about weak people in his times, the doctors. He says because some doctors say that in Likutei Amarim, right? Some doctors say that weak people get affected from smoking, so he says that it's usher for them. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Mechitzas Rabbeinu, Shas Tshuvos Be'er Moshe and Chelik Vav, Shas Tshuvos Tzitz Eliezer in several places, Rabbi Tzina Abishol in a Sefer Ar Letzion Chachma Musar, you have Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who as quoted in Sefer Mishpat HaKesuvah, he said that someone that smokes and knows the full extent of the iser, and that it's a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim, that you're mechuyev to
even if there's no chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim, if he does a lav b'tzmidias, he's pasul edus, and that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman says in that case the person should not be.
I'm not sure why he says they have a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim. It could be because the iser of there's a shiloh why the Rambam says that someone who is over and second only gets makas madus. So it could be the Chazon Ish says that it's because the Be'er Gadol says it's a chassi, could be some sort of a chassi share of Leisasim Damim. For Leisasim Damim is meant is said in the Torah for a makkah. It's said. So the Be'er Halacha says that it's a sort of a chassi share, and the Chazon Ish says that it's sort of avizrayo of Leisasim Damim. And according to the Meiri, I want to say it's pretty clear that you're only over the Isra of Lassasim Dam if someone dies from it. In other words, you can't put yourself into Sakana, but to say that someone is actually over on the Lav, if you didn't die from it, then if no one's going to die from it, then you weren't over on the Lav. So to say that you're over, that you've got Malchus for being over on Lassasim Dam, so that's why the Rambam says that there's a chiv of Malchus Maradis for being mistaken.
So in the Mishpat HaKsuba, he says that l'chatchila you should not take an aide who smokes. Is that
no,
correct?
No. He says b'di'evid. He knows the extent of the iser, and we'll post
that as well. And I think just societally, it's not a bad message when you say, "I'm sorry, we can't take whoever he is if you smoke," because
Absolutely.
It sends a message. You know, this somebody who's an aide, it's an honor, in my opinion. And according to the Paiskim, it's the single biggest honor by a wedding. The Masada Kedushin, you know, they used to give to the Shamis. It's only the whole reason we have a Masada Kedushin, most people don't know, is because it's Shaloi Levayish, Misha'enei Dei Levarach. It's really the Chiv of the Chassan to make the Bracha. But the Machsanim, who, sadly, not like today, they didn't, you know, in olden times, they never went to school, they couldn't make a Bracha. So they would put the Shamis up. You know how to make the Bracha, Shaloi Levayish, Misha'enei. But the Brachas, I mean, look. It's not ma'akiv the kedushin. She's also without brachas, but it's whereas the edim are the essence of the kedushin, so the biggest kibud. So when we give a kibud to somebody who is over, that according to so many paiskim is a deraisa, besides the fact that it could be a problem with the edus, it's also a bad societal message.
I agree.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for the wonderful work you do, Rabbi Tzvi Hertig at Machonu Bacharta B'chaim.
Thank you very much for having me, Rabbi Tavlach.
Take care. Kolta, bye-bye. We have the honor of having with us from Chicago, Rav HaGoyin Rav Shmuel First. He's the Rav of Agudas Yisrael of Chicago. He is the Dayan of the Aguda, and he the famous Pesach from Chicago. Welcome, Rav First.
Yes.
So, Rabbi First, we had on the radio a fellow from... he has an organization, Eretz Yisrael, that they very against smoking. I could say that I personally, my father, Zichron Levracha, died of lung cancer. And he has an organization that is mefarsim in all the yeshivas, the dangers of smoking. And he believes, and he has a psak from Reb Shlomo Zalman, that had Reb Moshe known today, he wrote his tshuvas in the, you know, one was written in 63. One was written a little later. I don't remember the exact date. I don't have it in front of me. And he said, but Reb Moshe said it's just a safek, a chash. Today, where they say that it's a substantial amount, he has a letter from Reb David Feinstein that today Reb Moshe would not have paskined that there's a din of Shem Ipsayim Hashem, and Reb Moshe would have agreed, given that it's not a chash rachik, but it's something like 35% of serious, I don't have the exact statistics, but it was. Number where it's much more than a shashen and matzoy like the marsham of 6%. That Reb Moshe, Reb Psak from Reb David in writing, that he will share and we will post online that Reb Moshe would not today have paskined the concept of shayim psayim Hashem. So, first of all, would you agree with that? And B, if you
100%, I would agree with that. And who
so
am
now
I
the
to,
question.
Who am I? To say I agree with Reb Moshe, of course, Reb Moshe was a Gadol HaDor. He was my Rebbe also. You know, but Reb David says his father agreed, so certainly. I do know Reb Yashiv, who lived a lot more years than Reb Moshe. Reb Yashiv was, also didn't hold of the smoking. And Moshe has several tshuvas. One tshuva in the second Chevi Chesha Mishpat, he says you can't smoke in a Beis Medrash because you're putting other people besakana.
Chakas and Zakin. Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi, here's the question.
Payment.
You're by a chasana, you're the Masada Kedushin,
yeah.
And they call up an aide who you know smokes heavily. Well, if he's over on an Isser, I don't know, is he have a dinu shmarta mastaf sheisechem? Is he maybe a ma'abedat sviladas? Whatever the issue would be. And would you turn around and say, could we get an aid who is not over a lav b'tzmidius?
First of all, two things. First of all, you have to mekabel in Bezdin that he's pasulaydis. That's a fushad in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. Secondly, how can you vayish another yid barabim? Tell him you're not kosher. They call them up. He comes up there, and you tell him, you know, I'm sorry, he can't be an aide. He's not a Mechal Shabbos professor. You know, he's doing his ivy. He's a mumul. Most years is a mumul davar echad. He can't pass on aides because of that.
But the Shulchan Aruch says a mumul davar echad who does it b'tzmit. Right,
yeah,
it becomes a din of a mumul achis.
Since there are poiskim that hold it's not like that, yeah, what to be semichan? But to say he's pasul eidus, I think that's carrying it a little bit too far.
So you would not do. I agree with you that you should not be. I shouldn't say I agree with you. It's not for me to agree with you. But your point that not to be mavaza a person is certainly a great point. Would you be choishish to do the kedushin again but sinna afterwards?
No, I would not. Because
okay.
We'll get out and you'll be right to the other person. But yeah, I don't think you can pasul a person like this.
Okay. Rabbi, first, it was a great honor to have you on with us. Thank you so much. For anybody who's wondering why I harp, are they puzzle aides? I mean, you smoke a cigarette. I mean, people do wrong things. I mean, you could overeat on Yapchik. You could speak Lashon Hara. Like, what's this thing? So I just want to point out the problem here. The Mechaba in Kuf Nun Ches in Yeridea talks about what is called the Rasha. And it says that somebody who's over an Avera, you assume they did tshuva. But if somebody does an Avera lahachis, to anger God, what does that mean, lahachis? The definition of lahachis is he has two burgers in front of him, a McDonald's and a kosher burger. And he says, I'm eating the McDonald's. He says, that person is a Rasha. He's pasul le'edis. He's meiridin v'lei malin. That's a Rasha lahachis. Well, teyavain. If he's doing it because there's just one burger here, he's starving, he wants the McDonald's burger, or he's just very hungry, he did an Avera. It's not a good thing. It's a serious Avera, but doesn't become a Rasha. But then the Shulchan Aruch says something different, interesting, that if somebody repeatedly does, he repeatedly eats at McDonald's, he starts going every day to McDonald's, then he, even if it's Lotei Avein, he becomes a Rasha. Why? Because is there that much of a difference of somebody who says, you know, I do it lahachis, or somebody says, you know, I don't care, it doesn't interest me. Religion doesn't interest me. I'm not lahachis, it just doesn't interest me. Shulchan Aruch says, if you do something repeatedly, it rises to the level of lahachis. So my question that I struggle with is, cigarette is something that people smoke a pack a day, half a pack, every day for years, right? Well, could that rise to the level, chas v'shalom, of lahachis, where it become a problem of psoleidus? This is what inspired the halakhic issue that inspired this road of questioning.
We have the honor of having with us Mireinu Hagoyin Harav Reb David Cohen, the Mechaber of 25 or 30 Sfarim, the Rav of Gvul Yavitz, and in my eyes, the Paisik of America on the phone. Shalom Aleichem, Reb David.
Aleichem Shalom.
Given the fact that it's been probably 50 years since Reb Moshe wrote his tshuva about smoking, and it's reduced itself considerably, Baruch Hashem, in our community, but there are still many, especially younger, who do smoke, many younger Bachrim. Would you say, given that what we know about today, the dangers of smoking, that somebody who insists on smoking is in effect oiva nushmartim nafshei sechem, is to a limited level, I guess, eventually, there's a scientific study by Reed that says every cigarette reduces lifespan by 5 minutes.
I read 4 minutes, that every cigarette reduces one's lifespan by 4 minutes. I'm under the impression that is scientifically true.
So would a person like this have a din of a ma'abedat smiladas, and therefore be, let's say, pasul le'edus by a chasana?
No, I don't think the person would be pasulaitis, because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that those who were mekaver Yisraelim ha-mekaverim on Yom Tov Rishon, where the halach is Yisasku by Amimim and not Yisraelim, nevertheless, they're not pasulaitis, albeit we put them in Chayrim. because they are rationalizing away that they're being put in chayim as some sort of a kapara for what they have to do according to halacha, like a person. Like a person who has a bad dream on the Friday night, he fasts on Shabbos, and then he has to fast the Tainis, according to Rashi, on Sunday to make up for having fasted Shabbos, although he's fasting on Shabbos Kedin. But because, so people have that rationalization, and a person who rationalizes cannot be pusilatus because he thinks he's doing the right thing. So there's no doubt that most fruma smokers, whether they know of Rav Meisher's tshuva or not, they're still rationalizing away that they're not doing anything wrong. Even the person who has no such rationalization feels that I'm like an onus because, and that may be true incidentally, that the person may be considered an onus because the person is truly addicted. So no one, or almost no one, is doing it bemazed. The person says, I know, I just can't stop. Or, I'll be alocha, Rav Meisher wrote a tshuva, it's mutter. And it's because of that they are not pusilaitis.
So you say that the fact that would the fact that they consider themselves ein simul itself make them not pusilaitis?
That's correct, because so, it's so a rationalization. That's the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says, so, that these makavrim, even though we put them in chayim, they rationalize away. That's just like, it's like Misana Tainis Latanise, but they're doing the right thing. And they even feel they're doing a mitzvah.
So would you say the same thing about people who, let's say, overeat to the point where it really it limits their life cycle, et cetera? You would say it's the same halacha?
Yes, it's either an addiction where the person says, I just can't stop. Whatever it is, it's a rationalization which takes them out of the realm of being mezidim. Before you go on, permit me to say, I Rabaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, I was told when he was in Chicago, parceled people who ate what's chadash. I won't go into the lumdus of whether chadash is or is not mutter bismanazah. There was a psak for many hundreds of years in that people in Europe relied on the psak of the Bach.
Yeah.
Chodesh Mizmanazah is mutter. And Rabbanon Soloveitchik Zatzal felt it's osur. He felt that Mizmanazah, we don't have the same rationale for whatever reason. And he possibly Edus people who are mechubed with Edus by a wedding because he felt that they're possibly Edus. Lani Azdati, they weren't possibly Edus because they certainly had a rationale. Even Imtim Saloima, that Lahalacha Rabaron Zatzal was right, but it's not a, it was right, Lugabi the Halacha of Chadash. Nevertheless, you can't postulate this when people have what they believe is a heter.
Or an oinus.
Not oinus, the Bach.
I understand that.
Chadash, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
If there's a rationale,
So
they're not mazen anymore, they're not postulate this.
We have with us on the radio from Eretz Yisrael, on the telephone, may I say, Harav HaGaon, Rabbi Nissen Kaplan. He's one of the Rosh Yeshivas in the Mir in Yerushalayim. He has approximately 200 boys in his shir, which makes it one of the largest shiurim, Torah shiurim in the world. Additionally, there are numerous, perhaps dozens of shiurim available online as well. Welcome, Rav Kaplan.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Good morning to all of you.
So, Rabbi Kaplan, what would you say about smoking? I know, unfortunately, in America, smoking has, to the great part, been, you know, almost obliterated. It's substantially down. It's in the low single digits, the amount of teenagers who smoke. Sadly, in other communities, it's not that way. And my question to you is, what is your opinion about Bahram smoking? And, you know, Rav Meisher wrote a famous tshuva, Shema Psayim Hashem, about smoking. Do you think it still applies today? Would you consider somebody who smokes kasha le'edus? Give me a little bit of both the hashkafa and a halachic view on it.
Okay. First, you know, because I don't smoke, and I really don't like smoking. And it's like, you know, when I check into a shidduch, I make sure that my son-in-law does not smoke. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. Yeah, but I'll try not to be biased. And I think, you know, to be biased against smoking, it's most of the world, like you said, it's the very end thing today that smoking is not permitted and it's not accepted. And it's easy to be against smoking. But if we really want it down, like you asked the question, so I think we have to divide it. For sure, the advice, and more from advice, is to young guys not to smoke. We in Eretz Yisrael did not let, and no yeshiva, and no bis medrash, and no kollel, we did not let smoking in the building. If a boy will take a cigarette out in the mirror, he'll be kicked out of the place. He could smoke outside in the street, but he cannot smoke in the bis medrash. That today became like not even a question. I could say in the last 10 years, I did not remember even that we had to tell a boy to not to put up a cigarette in the bis medrash. No one has a cigarette in the bis medrash. Even no one shows, even boys that are smoking, I never saw a boy outside yeshiva smoking. I can't say that I don't believe that there's some boys that I smoke, but I never saw the last 10 years a Talmud of mine smoke. Meaning we managed to give over the message very clearly that it's not the right thing. And why it's not the right thing? First, even if it will not be so not healthy, it makes a person to be addicted to something that he doesn't really need to be addicted to. You know, he's a regular boy, and he starts to buy the cigarettes, smoke, forget about the bad smell that it does, that it disturbs different people, but why to start when you're young and you're stupid with something that later you cannot stop yourself, even when you want to? Adding to that, that a guy that smokes a lot, for sure, is not healthy for him. I'm not even saying because we know medically. A guy that smokes a lot, you know, he can't breathe properly, puts up weight, he needs it the whole time. So for sure, we managed, I think, like you said, in America, societies here also, it's very not accepted. Very not accepted. If you remember once a head of a country, or a rabbi, or someone that comes to a public place and takes a cigarette, tries to picture it in the last years, you almost never see it.
I'll tell you about the story. I heard from...
When we were kids, we saw it. But I want to go to your second question.
Can I interrupt just, Rav Kaplan, you said about why become addicted. I heard a story from Rav Martz Chaludma Zohar Levracha. He was a Reshet Shurei Torah. He said that years ago, he was at in Eretz Yisrael, he was at a protest against the British occupation. So he was thrown into jail for 2 days. And he was thrown in with a very famous journalist who was sharing his cell. And he had cigarettes on him, and the journalist didn't. So he smoked a cigarette, and you know, and then he threw it on the floor, and he stubbed it out. And there was a drop of tobacco left in the cigarette. So he said, this journalist, he says, it was a world-famous journalist from Time magazine, got on his hands and knees, picked up this filthy stub from a filthy jail floor, who knows what was on the floor, put it in his mouth, and he lit it to get the two puffs. And he said, I decided then that if this is what smoking can make a person do, I will not. And he said he never smoked again in his life after that.
Wow. It's a beautiful story because the story really brings us out the point that the smoking that a person does is not even really because he enjoys it, it's because he's addicted.
Becomes your
master.
So
like you say, that person, how much you could enjoy two pups, but it's so disgusting. Even if you will have a person will have an ice cream on the floor that he really likes, but in such a disgusting surrounding, he will not touch that ice cream. The answer is he's not eating it because he's not smoking it because he wants it. He's smoking it because he's addicted to it.
And like most addictions, it starts off with a hana, with a pleasure, that initially it's meant to pleasure us, but ultimately it becomes our bailam, it becomes our master. Not unlike...
Right, and cigarettes, a lot of people even didn't start from enjoying. A lot of teenagers feel it's like a grown-up thing. It's like a mad, like a strong. It's not even really... A lot of them, you know, they choke and they cough in the beginning and they just force themselves to get used to it.
So do you think Reb Moshe's had to have shown up Sayyid Hashem?
So I heard that Reb Yankov Fisher claimed, again, he, in the end of his life, he was against smoking a lot. But now we're going to the halachic point. And he said that before we're discussing if it changed number-wise, let's first go back to Reb Moshe's time. Reb Moshe said, Shem Ebsayim Hashem, even that we see today that a lot of people, you know, statistics, you have a beautiful sefer, Chaim Lelo Yishun from Eschaik. He was a right-hand man from Rav Shach, and it brings all the statistics, how much, you know, lung cancer is 10% more by smokers, or 20% more, or even 80% more. And Reb Moshe says in the tshuva, I don't care. Even if Lamazagon, even if we will say that 100% people that smoke get cancer much more from people that don't smoke, he says Shem HaPsoim is relevant if most of the world does not die from lung cancer. You say Shem HaPsoim Hashem, meaning what statistic doubles the number by them, if most of the smokers do not get cancer in the end, you could say Shem HaPsoim. This is the tshuva of Reb Moshe. The tshuva of Reb Moshe is not denying the medical. He says he's not so sure about the medical, and that in our days we already know exactly. But he says he's not denying, even if you will say that it doubles the numbers, or triples the numbers, if altogether all the people that die from smoking is a mute, you have a heter of Shem HaPsoim Hashem. Second. Rabbi Solyanka Fisher, that was a big dayan, said that all the statistics don't apply to Jewish people. Why? We, the people that smoke by Jewish, only smoke 6 days a week. The statistic was done by people that smoke 7 days a week. Maybe when one day you don't smoke, the lungs catch up.
But that's absurd.
It puts tar
in the lungs. It's like if you put tar in your lungs 6 days, you don't put it in the seventh day?
Yeah. I would say medically, I don't know if what he said really takes place. But it's a nice point to say, to realize that by us, really, the people that smoke, all the medicals that we have all over the world, by smokers that smoke 7 days a week, never stopped. By us, and this is a beauty part of Klal Yisrael, that like you said, this guy bent on his floor, and I'm saying it when I go to Rosh Hashanah, and I say, Yubayna Shalaylam, I use the story that you said. The guy is in jail, such a famous person. He bends on his feet to get this tobacco, to get 2 pumps. Even though it's so disgusting. But in Rosh Hashanah, the guy will not touch the cigarette. But Rosh Hashanah will get the yontif and say he will not touch cigarette. Look at the beauty of Klal Yisrael. They can't control themselves in the middle of the night. He needs a cigarette. He leaves his family. He's crazy. He does crazy. People steal crazy things for cigarettes. But the Jewish person does not put out a fire on Shabbos. 99%. I'm not saying, you know, some people have it hard and they go out there. We're not discussing. We're speaking the general Jewish person does not smoke on Shabbos. And I think it's something so beautiful. It was worth the cigarettes just to see this beauty in these teenagers that they can't hold themselves. And like you say, you know, they're up to the internet, everything else they have, yeah? And they really need a cigarette. We know how much they're addicted. And Shabbos they don't touch.
So would you consider somebody who smokes a Mabedatz Meladas?
So I'll tell you, I don't think so. I asked this question to a couple of rabbanim when I was in a chasana, and they gave edus to someone that was smoking.
Right.
And I asked the question, why is not possible edus?
Right.
He's over, you know, he's doing... So the answer is, when the person that is doing it is not doing it for the bad purpose, he's doing it because he's addicted to it. And he thinks that he has a heter. And what is the proof that he thinks that he has a heter? Listen very carefully. It's a beautiful thing. We see this boy, he doesn't smoke in Shabbos. So when he realizes that Hashem said no, this boy, even though he's so addicted, will listen to Hashem, right? So obviously, he doesn't realize that Hashem doesn't let him to smoke. He's blind. He doesn't realize. What does that prove? Shabbos, he doesn't smoke. So when Hashem says no, he listens. So we cannot consider him Abed Asmel Adas. We cannot consider him Apostle Eidus.
You wouldn't get consider him a Mumaladav Arechad because he does it Bitzmidius.
No, because I'm showing you that when comes Shabbos, he's not Mumma.
Rav Kaplan, there was
how he controls in Shabbos. He's Mumma to that thing. Why in Shabbos he holds
Let me ask you a question, Rav.
Because he knows that Hashem said no.
Rav Vozna came out with a psak, but before he was Nifta, that somebody, let's say, has internet on his phone is Pasul Le'edus. Now, he doesn't use his phone on Shabbos. And it didn't stop Rav Vozna from passing him for Eidus.
It's a good question. You know, this psak of Rav Vozna about the internet, you know, needs a lot of explanation. For sure, we understand that a person that is exposed to things that he's not allowed to be exposed is possible Eidus. This is what the psak's not going about to Dan and the psak himself. Well, he doesn't do it in Shabbos. That person, you know, is like a person that eats chazer, yeah? And he's not Mechal Shabbos. Because he's not Mechal Shabbos, I would not say that he's not Posel Eidus if he eats the chazer, the oven, the lehachis, yeah? Only in cigarettes I'm bringing that. Because in cigarettes, like you said, the guy will be on the floor to get two pumps. So obviously, he doesn't realize that it's usher. There's no way. We know a smoker cannot control himself. So why he could control himself on Shabbos? Because he thinks that Hashem doesn't let him do it, and he doesn't that it's usher during the week. Mm-hmm. So that saves him, the derech klal, from the avera. Not every guy that keeps a Shabbos is not a mukut or something else. But somebody that really the same very hard to control is in Shabbos like weekday, so then we say that it's approved. I saw it in one of the Achrayim, and I can't remember, I could try to remember. Maybe the Be'er Moshe, but I'm not sure.
Well, thank you very much, Rav HaGoyin, Rav Nissen Kaplan.
And thank you for this beautiful time together. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Kol tov, a good year. We have with us Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who's the Mara D'Asra of Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere, and he's one of the most prolific Torah lecturers on YU.org. I believe he's the only member of the 4,000 Club. It could be there's somebody else, but I believe he's the only member. He's bountiful, abundant with Torah, Yerushalayim, and fantastic Maggid Shiur. Welcome, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you very much. Great to be here again.
So, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Aryeh, let me ask you a question. A very current topic, and that is e-cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask you, what is your opinion about e-cigarettes? Do they halachically, do they have any implication, et cetera? Are they permitted?
So there are lots of halachic implications relating to e-cigarettes. One has to discuss, when. First of all, just for those who maybe don't know what it is, the idea of the e-cigarette, and maybe before I researched it, I had no idea what it means. Maybe I'm assuming ignorance just because I was ignorant on the topic, but it's always better to be clear. Essentially, for people who are addicted to nicotine, it's a smoke-free kind of way of getting a nicotine fix. It's an electronic cigarette. It's an electronic device that you put a liquid formula into, it vaporizes the liquid, and when the person inhales, they're inhaling this vapor that's created from that liquid. It does this electronically, and the person inhales and gets their nicotine fix without any tobacco and without any smoke. So there are several questions that poskim have to deal with, and that is, first of all, is it kosher? Does it need to be kosher? Does the liquid need to be kosher? Is this a food item at all to begin with? Second, if it needs to be kosher, does it need to be kosher lePesach, on Pesach? We also need to discuss if it's a food item, or even if it's not a food item, is this something a person could do before davening in the morning? We're somewhat limited in the activities that we're allowed to do before davening. A person is not supposed to eat a meal or travel before davening. So is a person allowed to do to smoke an e-cigarette before davening? And also one has to discuss fast days. On a fast day, is a person allowed to have this? It has flavors. They sell bubblegum flavor. They sell all different sorts of flavors of this liquid. And perhaps the most important question is, would this fall under the prohibition of endangering one's life? That this is something, is this considered something that's unsafe and therefore usher to do because it's unsafe, just like most of the post can assume is true about cigarettes, regular conventional cigarettes, where we would assume that it's usher. So really, we'd have to take each shiloh separately. So really, when you ask what do we say about e-cigarettes, you're really asking five different shilohs. So maybe if you could be more specific about which.
So let's talk about shmartim es nafshei sechem, because to me that's, you know, the largest override. Is it endangering your life? Like how much of a health hazard is it? How does would halacha look at the health hazards of e-cigarettes?
So the research isn't all out there yet, apparently. At least with my minimal looking around, it seems that the research isn't all in yet. So we don't really know. What we do know is that there's no smoke and there's no tobacco. So those risks that are associated with smoke and tobacco are not as big of an issue or an issue at all with e-cigarettes. We also do know that there is nicotine and sometimes a pretty intense dosage of nicotine, and nicotine is a poison. Nicotine is something that's also very unhealthy, but it has a whole different set of problems health-wise that it causes. It's hard to know yet which principles we would apply. Meaning, for example, eating donuts is also not so healthy. A person has a lot of saturated fat in their diet. That's also not so healthy. I don't think anyone would say at this point that it's an issur d'oraisa to eat a donut. I think many people would be very comfortable saying that it's an issur d'oraisa to smoke regular cigarettes. And this would seem to be somewhere in between, and we still have to figure out what exactly, how high the risks are. And is this something that...
Do you believe, Rabbi Leibowitz, that smoking regular cigarettes is an issur d'oraisa?
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question? You're a Masader Kedushin, I imagine, on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Would you accept a witness who smokes?
I don't ask the I don't ask that question of the witnesses. To be pasul eidos, it's I'm not so sure that someone is pasul eidos if he smokes. Simply because it's at least the machlokas, whether it's an issur d'oraisa, and he could be under the impression that it's heter gamur, even though it's hard to imagine that a person smoking thinks that he's doing a mitzvah or that he's doing anything positive in his life. But there are many, many people that are under the impression, I think it's a mistaken impression, but they're under the impression that they're not doing anything wrong. So if a person is a believing Jew and they don't realize that they're doing something that's usher, I don't think it would possible them le'edus.
So even so, in other words, even if somebody has a din of a mumer ledavar echad betois mistakenly,
yeah,
you don't believe that he would be possible le'edus.
Right.
Because a mumer ledavar echad gives him a din lahalach of an apikairis, which would for sure be possible le'edus.
Yeah, well, that's if he knows that he's doing an issur. But a person who thinks that he's not doing an issur and his rebbeim smoke, and that's the, you know, what he assumes is the psak halacha that is accepted, so I don't think we can call such a person pasul eidos.
So an e-cigarette then, in your opinion, would be a suffic issur d'oraisa?
I think the data's not in yet. I don't think we have enough information yet. If it's true what many people claim, that it really helps wean them off of cigarettes, then maybe that's the best way to go. It could save people from a whole different set of illnesses. Other people claim that it's a terrible thing because it makes smoking so easy. You could smoke without any of the choking and without any of the difficulties that people often have when they start smoking. This the experts have to figure out.
Okay, so let's talk about the Isser Achila. Could you smoke on a tinus?
So smoking on a tinus is really two issues. First, you have to figure out if it's food, if the e-cigarette, the vapor that one inhales is food. If it does have a din of food, then it would be usur. But then there's a separate issue of just enjoying oneself too much on a tainus. The Ramah writes in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Hey in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that on Tisha B'Av a person is supposed to limit all hana'os, b'kol masha efshar. It's where he talks about not sleeping with a pillow and not enjoying as much as he normally would. And the Mishnah Berurah over there quotes that many poskim, I think quotes a Knesset HaGedolah, if I'm not mistaken, say that for that reason one shouldn't smoke afilu b'dalet samos, not just on Tisha B'Av, even on the other fast days. So from that perspective, if one is going to be machmir about smoking in general on a tainus, then this would certainly fit that category. Although the Mishnah Berurah says if a person is addicted, they could even smoke on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon after chatzos. So that's one perspective. In terms of the food part of it, so someone told me that the poskim in Lakewood are machmir because they view it as a food. I know the CRC, I had a correspondence with Rabbi David Cohn from the CRC, and he said that the position of the CRC is that we should view it as a food. I'm not so convinced that's the case, that this would be called ingesting food. It would seem to...
I mean, would they make a bracha on it, according to the CRC?
Yeah,
do they make a shahakal?
So all of these questions, is it a kashrus-sensitive issue? Would you make a bracha on it? To me, it strikes me much more like a mouthwash that has a flavor. It's not a food. It's not meant to be eaten as a food. It's something that you're taking for some other reason. And it's not even taken in the derech achila. Person's not. It would be not only that. If a person were to take a bottle of this liquid and drink it, they could die from it. It's toxic. It can only be taken in small doses in this vaporized form. I asked my Rabbi Rav Schechter about this. He said he wasn't that familiar with the technology, but his impression also was that this is not a food and should not be treated as a food. So I'm not convinced that there's a problem with assuming that it's mutter in general. I'm not convinced that it's a kashrus problem, and I'm not convinced that there's a problem with having it on a fast day.
So you would say that kashrus, if there's something in it that is not kosher, would not be an issue. I assume that if it was a question of basa b'chalav, it would be different.
So when you're talking in Isra Hana'a, an Isra Hana'a may be different. Although there is a discussion in Hilchos Yayin Nesach about taking in, absorbing the reyach of Yayin Nesach, and over there it seems that the Shulchan Aruch is makel with that, even though we're dealing, and Shach points out, even though we're dealing with an Isra Hana over there as well. So it could be that there's room to be makel based on a different principle, and that is that Recha Lav Milsa, that if all the person is imbibing is the Reach of the item, and they're not actually eating the item, that maybe Recha we don't view as being significant. But Pashas is, if it's something that's Aser Bahana, a person should probably avoid that.
Even though the shach that you quote is a steer that in Hilchos Pesach we know on that recha of chametz you should be machmer on according to the
yeah. So there's room to discuss that maybe stam yenam maybe is not aser bahana and is again if we're dealing with misra now if we're dealing with baser b'chol of midaraisa, which I don't think is the case in any of these liquids. If we're dealing with baser b'chol midaraisa, then it would be a problem. But I really don't think that's the case. The ingredients are vegetable glycerin and some type of nicotine that's put in there, distilled water sometimes. But generally speaking, we're not dealing with anything that's basar or chalav.
So. What about smoking before davening, then?
So smoking before davening may be an entirely different issue. It may not depend on whether it's achila at all. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud talks about eating before davening, and the Gemara seems to identify two separate issues. One issue is losochu al adam, that we're not supposed to eat before we're mispalel al damchem, before we daven for ourselves, before we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. And then there's a separate, and that seems to be about achila, that one is not supposed to eat before davening, but then there's a separate reason not to eat that the Gemara says, va'osli yishlach ta'achar gavecha, that we're sort of disrespecting the Ribbono Shel Olam by taking care of our own basic physical needs before we worry about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's not only about eating, that's about anything that shows that we're just worried about ourselves before we're worried about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So any indulgence that a person has before davening would probably be a violation of that. Now the question is, if it's something that's not an indulgence, it's just to make me feel like a mensch, so I could daven, meaning I want to get dressed in the morning and tuck my shirt in and look respectful for davening, so that's not called an indulgence that I'm trying to make myself look nice, that's called that I'm trying to look respectful for davening. If a person, let's say, every morning takes a shower and shaves before davening because he wants to look nice to come into shul and daven, so that's not a violation. Rav Shechter thought that if a person takes a shower and shaves every morning, but not on Sundays when he doesn't have work, then he's not going to take a shower and shave in the morning. Then he thought that it's clear that the reason he's showering and shaving is not for davening, that it's for work, for later on. And he thought then it would be a violation, then it would be a problem to do so before davening. But if whatever a person... So my first inclination was that it should be aser, because this is just indulging oneself before davening. But people who are smokers, I'm not a smoker, people who are smokers tell me that they can't, the time they need a cigarette the most is right when they wake up. They mamish can't focus on anything. They can't, they get very uptight. If they're not going to be able to have any kavanah whatsoever in davening. So if they need it to help them daven, again, assuming that the whole enterprise is mutter, which maybe is an assumption, but assuming that the whole thing is mutter, if they needed to help them daven, so then it would probably be permissible.
Okay, so let me go back to something we spoke about before. Somebody who knows that smoking is dangerous, but can't hold themselves back from it. They just say, look, I'm an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would you accept such a person for an aid?
So probably, because I think the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that in order to be Pasoleidus, I haven't reviewed the Siman in Chosh Mishpat about Pasoleidus, but if I'm not mistaken, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, that in order for a person to be Pasoleidus, he has to be in violation of an Isser that the Yeshba Malkus, that you have Malkus for. And I'm not sure that one is Chayv Malkus. I don't think one is Chayv Malkus for Nishmartam al Nafshul Seichem. So if there's no Chayv Malkus, one could argue that it wouldn't pass with him Le'edus. Plus, if someone is
but respectfully, Rabbi Leibowitz, when the Shulchan Aruch says that you need Malkus, or you have to be, let's say, a Chashad Lamamayna, right? It's on a single Isser. But when we're talking about somebody doing something repetitively, the Mechaba Paskins, that somebody who is repeatedly is over on the same Isser falls under the category of a mummer. In other words, he's considered an apikairis because continued indifference is the equivalent of denial. So somebody who is a smoker, and this is a repeated offense, it doesn't happen one time, the chayra would not at that point be just somebody's over on a lav, but somebody who falls under the din lahalacha of a mummer. So based on this, a mummer is certainly pasul eidus.
A mummer is certainly pasul eidus. I'm still not convinced, though, because there's a certain onus that's created by the addiction that the person has, and the person is struggling with it, and he's trying to stop. He's not smoking every second. He's doing his best, and or what he thinks is his best, and he's has not yet been successful. I don't know, especially something that so many people think are under the impression is mutter. I'm not sure that we can pass all such a person leidos. I don't know.
Okay, so thank you very much. So let me conclude. You say e-cigarettes would be a suffix of an issa deraisa, I guess, based upon what the research findings are as far as its derogatory impact on health.
Right.
As far as eating before davening, you believe it would be mutter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe, because you don't see it as a tainug, but something sort of like a necessity, like a glass of water. You don't believe that there would be a problem of kashrus on it, because like you say, if you drank a bottle of this, you'd probably die. So if you can't eat it, how could it be an isser achila? When it comes to an isser hana, which would be, let's say, using it on Pesach, if it had in it, let's say, grain alcohol, for example, as a possibility, since Isser Hanah is much more chamer, that would be much more problematic.
Right, it would seem so, yes.
Well, we're very happy to. I don't believe there's a single, to my knowledge, I haven't seen a single article written on this topic. Maybe I could be wrong, but I haven't seen one yet. So we are certainly, trying to live up to our reputation as headlines here as cutting edge halacha. I would like to thank you very much. We enjoy having you on repeatedly.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Okay, be well.